I'm interviewing John Meisel for the 50th anniversary history of SIUE. It's Monday, March 7th, 2006. And I'm interested in the whole issue of leadership. And what I've come to realize, and I think this should be part of faculty orientation, is the role of the business school in putting the whole place together and making it into such an excellent place. I mean, as it is, it's becoming more and more.
Yeah.
Polish the rock. But anyway, I guess one we could start with the role of athletics, and I know you've been very interested in that for many years.
Right.
And
I think athletics is, I've been faculty athletics representative to the NCAA since 1988 or 89. Mm-hmm. Earl Asherson asked me to do that job, and it really wasn't a very well-defined job at the time, but it was a faculty member that serves as a liaison with the NCAA and also kind of watches over the academic progress of the student-athletes. I think during the 80s there was a sense that the athletic program wasn't really as academically oriented as it should be, and there were some problems with the tennis program and maybe the men's basketball program, and that's when Cindy Jones actually she became the athletic director. We were looking for a change, and mm-hmm. Barbara DeLong sat on a task force where they wrote a philosophy over the role of athletics. Now that was a really important building block, I think, for the athletic program where it is today. But my role has really just been to look at kind of what our student-athletes look like and make sure they are making progress toward degree and that they behave themselves in ways that represent the university well. Mm-hmm. And we've hired a lot of good people over the years. I've been on almost every search committee for coaches. Mm-hmm. And right now I think we're really in good shape, and we're actually discussing as a task force whether we should move to Division I, which mm-hmm. is kind of a larger financial commitment of the university mm-hmm. toward athletics, whether that makes sense for the university. Mm-hmm. So it really has evolved. Not from an athletic perspective, there was a lot more winnings of championships back in the 70s and the 80s than there have been since, say, 88 or 89, but I think we run our program much more in compliance with the NCAA mm-hmm. and also with what the university faculty would want us to do. So I'm proud of the athletic program we have and the student-athletes that we have. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I think should be emphasized in faculty orientation, the scholar-athlete idea here.
Yeah, we really buy into that. Uh-huh. Right now, Division II has this balance concept where you balance academics and athletics. And we really do push that, and all of our coaches do really, too. I mean, it's different than at the Division I level, and that's something we're really discussing now, whether the Division I athletes are really just more focused on the athletic side, not so much the academic side. But if we do make the move to Division I, I don't think we're going to compromise our values. I mean, we just have too many people that believe in what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we don't have problems occasionally with student athletes. We do, but they're pretty minimal, and coaches act the right way when we do have a problem in terms of a student-athlete perhaps going to class or just not behaving the way we want them to behave. But we really put a pretty, we watch them, and we monitor them. We spend dollars on advisors and tutors and stuff, so they should do well because we've invested in them because they are representing the university. I travel with the teams quite frequently, and they represent us well in the country. I was with the softball team in Phoenix just a couple weeks ago. I was very pleased with the way they behave and represent the university. And at hotels, restaurants, with other teams, with mm-hmm. fans and stuff, it's really nice to see your student-athletes represent your university well.
I know the students are always interested in football. And I read something from David Warner where he said $10 million to establish it and $1 million a year to keep it going.
Right, yeah. Dave Warner actually asked me to chair a task force on whether we should add football back in 99 or 2000, mm-hmm. right around there. And we looked at it real seriously, and that's about what the numbers were to kind of get all the infrastructure you needed, it was going to cost you $10 or $12 million. That's just mm-hmm. one-time expenditures. Mm-hmm. But then on an annual basis, football is a very expensive sport. And yeah, the students talk about it, but I just don't think it makes a lot of sense for us. Most schools that are adding football at this point are private schools that are trying to get 100 more male students. Mm-hmm. And our problem is not enrollment. So we, you know, it doesn't have that financial attraction that it would at a private school mm-hmm. or admissions numbers. We just don't have a problem with that. And if we did add $1 million on the men's side, we'd have to add $1 million on the women's side because of gender equity, and we've always been strong in gender equity. And there are really not a lot of things that we don't offer that women would want to do. I mean, we'd be creating sports uh-huh. that just, like crew or lacrosse or something, that women do play, but I'm not sure it's really a regional sport. So there were several problems, but Dave Werner did say, you know, maybe it makes more sense to look at Division I than if you're going to add to your athletic program. And that's really what Vaughn's doing today. He's saying, okay, Dave Werner said 5 or 6 years ago we should kind of get our act together, see if we can become more competitive in Division II, and then look at Division I more seriously mm-hmm. down the road. And that's exactly what we're doing now.
Right. Okay, well, anyway. I knew you had a big role in the athletic program. I didn't realize that you accompanied the teams.
Well, I do it just because I was a student athlete in high school and in college at a Division III school where, you know, the focus isn't big time at all. But so I've always enjoyed athletics, and it was a perfect opportunity for me when Earl asked me to be the faculty rep to kind of get involved more in athletics, but also maintain teaching and research and service, which I enjoyed doing as much. So mm-hmm. it's a perfect thing for me to do. I really appreciated the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And now I've actually been involved with the NCAA a little bit more. Just recently I got selected to be on kind of what they call the management council at the NCAA, which is 25 people that kind of overlook all of Division II. So I'm really getting a lot more involved in the NCAA than I've ever been before. I've been involved in athletics at the university. And then in 94 when we got into a conference, I got involved in that. But now I'm even more involved with the NCAA and how they kind of govern the entire athletic programs. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of time that I'm not sure I'm willing to spend, but it's a 4-year commitment, so uh-huh. that's what it is, that's what I'll do.
Well, do you have anything else to say about athletics?
Not really, no. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, you talked to Cindy. I was on a search committee that selected Cindy. You know, one of the things in my life at SIUE is the search committees I've been on and the people we've selected. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most pride I've had, mm-hmm. selecting somebody like Nancy Belk or Cindy Jones. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just, maybe Phil Meaden in the pharmacy school. You bring good people and then good things happen.
Right.
And so Cindy Jones, you know, she did a lot to turn the program around and get going. And now Brad Hewitt's really doing a good job continuing with what she laid down as the foundation. So you get good people and mm-hmm. good things are going to happen.
You know, she said that Brad Hewitt is really great in development, and
yeah.
there was time for development, and that wasn't her strength, and
right.
it was time for her to... She was just so great.
Yeah. But, yeah, she was a great manager of the budget and making sure... you know, we stayed within our budget because that was a problem back in the 80s. We were overspending, and she also, you know, went to the student government and got additional support for our gender equity initiatives. Mm-hmm. And we're very proud of the fact that we do treat women equally mm-hmm. to men at this university. That's not true at all athletic programs around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, if you look at our women athletes, I mean, they're great role models for the university. I mean, they're very good students in general and very competitive on the field. And so, I mean, that was a great foundation she laid for Brad. And Brad has gone out and we've had major improvements in our facilities in baseball and softball.
Yes.
And really the thing that we need now is a new basketball facility because the Vidalabine gym is getting old and the bleachers mm-hmm. are breaking down, and something
we
needs...
We just won the conference.
Pardon me?
We just won the conference.
Well, we tied for first in our division, and we just played in a conference tournament this weekend, lost in the semifinals, but our basketball team on the men's side did get a bid to the NCAA tournament for the second year in a row, and that's the first time that's happened since the 80s, so... Mm-hmm. Our coach, you know, we had a really good coach. We just hired a really good person, Marty Simmons, and he's done a great job with the program.
Okay. Well, I am interested in leadership, and I know about Nancy Belk.
Right.
People have come up to me at conventions, like the American Historical. People say you're from SAU, and they're from UNO, and they'll come over and say, oh, thank you for giving us Nancy Belk. Over all those years, like in 10 years she's lasted, you know, she still has great faculty, you know.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if I looked at, I've been here for, I guess, maybe five presidents or chancellors, whatever you want to call them at the time, but Ken Shaw, I mean, had a kind of a youthful enthusiasm. I thought he was really did a good job of relying on people that knew what they were doing, but he wasn't here very long and moved, you know, to then become the system head and then out of the Illinois altogether, but then Earl came in, and Earl actually did a lot of good things. I know his legacy is not as great as it could have been because of some of the problems he had, but when I look at him, I see kind of like two or three things that he did were really significant for where we are today. One, when I first got here, it might be true of you, Ellen, as well, a lot of faculty kept on thinking we were going to add PhD programs. Well, I was hired here, and, you know, I was going to get a PhD program in this field and that field, and it's not happening, and it was kind of a dissatisfaction that they were kind of hired under false pretenses. And Earl basically said, listen, we're not going to have PhD programs. Our first priority is going to be undergraduate education. And we're going to want our faculty teaching our undergraduates, not graduate assistants or whatever, instructors, though we do use instructors, but... You know, we're going to predominantly focus on undergraduate education. So I think that was really important because today we don't have controversy on this campus about, well, we should be a more of a research institution. I think people have satisfied with our place in the higher education scheme. So he was responsible for that because, you know, again, there was just a lot of hostility or disgruntlement about our focus. Mm-hmm. Second, I think administratively, we had all those different schools, and now in arts and sciences, and that was a huge, huge emotional decision on people's parts to have to move to one college of arts and sciences. It wasn't a very popular decision, but I think from an administrative perspective, it made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I think we're kind of to the point now, because it's been a while, that it's probably working pretty well. The fact that we hired a very good dean of that school, Sharon Haas, was really important as well, because that was probably the most controversial issue that I've seen on this campus since I've been here. In the Faculty Senate, people were very emotional about it, and letters, and Lestel, and just comments around the community. So that was important. I think third, we were, as a university, when Earl was Chancellor, we were really actually a very high cost university. If you look at our normative costs, and he really had to make some decisions.
1.5 or something.
Yeah, we're like 25% over what we should have been, and School of Education was a large reason for that, I think, and he had to make some decisions there. And again, that does not generate a lot of friendliness on the part of people when you're cutting their budgets and stuff. So he really did some important things, but the people. When Nancy came in, which followed Earl, was just different because her personality was so different, and she was exactly what we needed at that time to kind of reunify ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you and I, you know, we were on that committee, and we really wanted Nancy to be hired, and she, you know, she was just wonderful. I just wish she stayed longer.
Yes.
But I guess she had some problems with her boss.
The system.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, David. Was perfect too to come in then.
He was.
Because, you know, he kind of got a little baggage associated with Earl Lazarson, because he was the provost for Earl. And once he kind of got out from underneath that, people, I think, had a better respect for kind of the role he could play. And I think he really blossomed in the job and really...
Yes, he did.
I should say another thing Earl did was the residence halls, which I think are really important at the university. Mm-hmm. Kind of started that, and we're continuing with that today, having a new residence hall going up, mm-hmm. our fourth one. I think that's wonderful for the university. It's really changed this university,
right.
to make it more like a university and
yes.
not a commuter school. So I'll give him credit for that as well. But David continued with that. Nancy did as well, and so was Vaughn. So we've had good leadership, I think. You know, Earl has had his negatives, but he did some things that laid a foundation that are important today.
Right. That's what I think. I think he's really.
I'd like him to be resurrected somehow in terms of us recognizing his contribution.
Yes, that's what I'd like to do too.
Yeah.
I thought that I would write. After I've written what I have to say about him, I thought I would send it to him and let him comment on it. Maybe he'd give me an interview.
He would do that, I think.
Because I think he was great. He had a kind of forthright, I think, contempt for people who weren't here for the long haul, which is like many faculty. Like, that's how I feel I was. If I had known everything I know now, I think it would have been very different. That's why I'm concerned about the faculty orientation.
Yeah. Well, but you know, they do a much better job with orientation now than they ever did.
Yeah.
When I came here, there was no orientation.
Yeah.
And now at least they have several weeks.
That's right.
So, yeah, I keep on thinking there are things that I'd like to tell new faculty about this place so they better understand it.
I'd like to tell people about the professional schools, people in CAS, about the professional schools and their role. That really needs to be stressed.
Let me talk a little bit about that,
anyway,
I guess, because I just actually, being on this 50th anniversary, I went back and looked at why they created this university and what was the demand by the communities for the mm-hmm. university. And I read an analysis, I think Howard C., I think his name
Harold
was.
Harold C.
Actually ended up writing it, but there was a consultant that kind of put his name on it.
Yes.
He was the guy that advised it. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Back in the 50s, this school or this university came about because of the demand or the perceived demand by individuals for professional education. I
yes.
mean, there was nursing was what they talked about, business, engineering a little bit at the time, education.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this school was, or the university was created in response to the fact that people wanted to have those opportunities to get into those professions.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, you know, that was the middle class, that got you into the middle class, and there was some, you know, this wasn't necessarily the highest income area and or fluent neighborhoods and stuff, so it gave, and they wanted low cost, would give kids a chance to kind of maybe
yes.
do better than their parents in terms of their careers, and so... Yeah, I think professional education was part of the reason why we generated the school. Now, everybody that's in professional schools recognizes the importance of general education.
Yes, I think they do.
And, you know, what we call the College of Arts and Sciences today. I mean, everybody knows that's important, but, you know, really the students that we have always been career-oriented. What can I do when I get out of here? It's not so much I'm going to go out and get a master's degree or a PhD. A lot of first-generation kids don't think that way.
No.
So having a business school, having an education school, nursing has always been an area that they wanted in this
That's
area.
That's right.
So I think that was real important. Now the business school, when I came here in 77, was, I don't think that great in terms of the faculty, but they had young faculty like
Dave
Gil Ruttman.
Dave Werner was,
had just taken over. He was mm-hmm. a young, very young dean. And they just made some really smart decisions that I think, or the reason why the business school and the rest of the university, I think, are a lot better quality-wise than they were when I first got here.
Mm-hmm.
One was they went to this merit system to evaluate people each year.
That's interesting.
Where they evaluate every faculty member every year in teaching, research, and service. And then your raises were based on your evaluation. So, you know, if the money was 5% salary increase, it didn't mean everybody got 5%. Some people in those days got zero. Because they just weren't doing very much in those areas. So that system put incentives into place to encourage people to be more productive. And some, even some, I remember some faculty members in economics that weren't all doing that much, maybe in the scholarship area. But once they saw that model, had the capability of doing things, and started to publish. So it was, that was important. And then, of course, hiring, all the hiring decisions that were made. When you present that kind of model to young faculty, a lot of them see that as attractive because they can get pretty good salary increases with that kind of model. And there's never a sense that the senior faculty were going to get the bulk of the salary increases or always teach the best classes. We never treated things that way. So Dave Werner was responsible for that. Gil Ruttman, some other people put that system into play. We still have it today. We've tinkered with it now and then. But what had happened was that people that really weren't very good or weren't dedicated to the university left or retired, and we replaced them with good people. And nowadays, there's nobody that's, you know, not productive in those areas. You know, now we don't probably have 45 faculty members or 50 faculty members, and, you know, they're all doing, the younger faculty I'm really impressed with. I serve on the personnel committee and see these people on three-year reviews and and tenure and promotion, and look what they're doing. I'm just impressed with their, especially their focus on educating students. They do a lot of interesting things, the interaction they have with students, and
they've won a lot of awards, too.
Yeah, won awards, and, you know, I mean, just, wow. I've seen that, you know, throughout the university. I served on the Teaching Excellence Committee, and, man, it was like this, what these people do, and principals, the amount of time they spend to try to get students to understand chemistry or biology or anthropology. I'm like, wow. I mean, that's just really impressive. So I think the School of Business has been a positive. And there's been people in the School of Business that have always been interested in not just the school, but the university.
Like that's Don, what I, yes, that's
like
what
Don Elliott, for example. You know, he's always contributed a lot to the...
I just wrote to him for an interview, too.
He's retiring this year. The problem with all these names is all these people retire.
I know. Well, it looks like you have a good... I just read Bob Carver did these spectacular reports for the school, you know, these glossy...
Yeah, I know he did.
But they're packed with information for an historian.
Yeah.
So it looks like you, your personnel committee has really done a great job. Like, they're good people coming up and...
I think so. I mean, I really... I'm not... It's not just the School of Business either. Just the young faculty I've met on campus. I mean, it's just... I'm just really impressed with what SIUE is going to look like, you know, at their 100th anniversary.
I know.
Really, I am. I'm just really positive on what's going to happen to this place in the future. I think there's going to be more residence halls. I think it's going to be better, you know, recognized more as an independent institution and not have that Carbondale.
Yes.
I don't know how many places you've gone to, and if you say, you know, Southern Illinois, they always think you're from Carbondale.
That's right.
But that's all right. Carbondale's been around a long time, and we haven't, so that's natural.
Well, you know, anything else about, do you have any students that you suggest that I could interview that you can...
Now, how would they help you in terms
of... Well, I just would like to ask about their experiences I have interviewed some students who are from big families that have graduated from university.
Right.
And that's a real important thing, I think, these family dynasties of
I do too.
Graduates. But no, sometimes you just like to interview someone and they remember their professors and they remember the new buildings. And
as terms of... people that work at this university that were students that I had, or like Eric Hess. He would be interesting to talk to. I mean, he's a sports information director, and he was in our master's program or undergraduate program, I recall. But he's been here a long time.
Okay, good.
So he would remember some people.
Yeah, that's good.
We have student athletes that are families where...
I've gone through the archives online and written down a lot of names, but...
Yeah. Well, if there's any that you see that you would like to talk to, let me know and I'll contact them or I'll get somebody who knows them well. But we have a woman who's a softball player. She's a senior this year. Her name is Alicia DeShazer. She's the third woman of her family that's played intercollegiate athletics at SIUE in the last 10 or 12 years. So, I mean, you see that, you know, it's kind of, and they're very impressive women. They're all very impressive women. and, you know, good students. Now, you know, one of them is a teacher at Edwardsville in speech pathology. Another one's doing something in Carrollton, which is where they're from. And Alicia's going to a senior this year, and she's a real leader on her team and also in the athletic department. So, I mean, there are people, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of families that have come here and their brothers or sisters have. We have a guy on our soccer team, Jeff, Pete Cacciatore, he's graduating this year. His father played soccer at SIUE in the 70s. Uh-huh. His uncle played on a national championship team at SIUE in 79. So, I mean, it's just like, you see that too. It's father, son, or father, daughter, right, or whatever. You know, 20 years apart or 30 years apart.
That's right.
And that's, I love that when that happens, you know.
Uh-huh.
Parents played here, or your uncle played here, or whatever.
You know, that's important, I think, in building the long range, not only development, but also choices for of good students, to make us a choice for good students. We have these family traditions.
You know, last year we had our first Hall of Fame for athletics. Never had a Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a nice dinner and presentations in October. And that was wonderful. I mean, I wasn't involved in the athletic program when a lot of these people got in, you know, or I wasn't even at SIU in the early 70s and stuff. And see them come back and talk about the way it was then, and they'll talk about their coaches or something, and it was just wonderful. And you could see that they really felt really good about coming back to the university and feeling real positive about that. Of course, they were being honored, you know, as a Hall of Famer, but still, yeah. That's so important. That builds that community that we're kind of,
right,
I think, talking about, that goes from one generation to the next. And I think SIU is doing that. You know, again, we're so young. People complain about, well, we don't get enough publicity. And so I said, well, we're like a baby in higher education.
That's,
you know,
right,
we don't pay a lot of attention. Harvard's been around for 300 years. We've been here for 50, you know. So it just takes a while. And if you hire good people, and if you have administrators that do the right thing,
yes,
you will get recognized. You know,
mm-hmm,
you're not going to. Vaughn always says we're a tremendous secret. Well, maybe we are, but you know, one of his things is to try to publicize us. So we need that too. And we've,
yes,
really never been big on publicizing ourselves.
No, we have this biggest campaign I've ever seen going now, don't we?
I think so. That's the first time we've really done that. Is we're trying to tell the world, listen, we're pretty good. We've,
uh-huh,
spent 50 years in this area, and we've done a lot. We have a lot of successful graduates. We have good faculty. You know, here's what we've done. Kind of brag about ourselves. So he had that. That was really important to have him kind of,
yeah,
at that position.
Yeah. I know that a lot of parents just are swept away by the beauty of the campus.
Mm.
That's,
I know.
That was David Warner too. This whole re-landscaping. I mean, his leadership to,
right,
to re-landscape
the
it
trees
again.
Down,
yeah,
the middle. I love that.
Cleaning,
you know,
out the lakes and fixing it up again.
You know, and I, I'm sure we drive here. We kind of over. I don't look at the campus anymore. You know,
I ride the bus every morning, so I have a lot pretty long time to look around.
Look around and see things.
And I also walk quite a few times. But.
Yeah, I guess I just know it is. I tell people. When we have candidates, always, you know, they say, wow, what a beautiful campus you have.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, you're really right. You know, I look out here now, it looks a little drab, but boy, in May, it's going to look pretty. And
yeah. Yeah, but I just think there's something. I think we are really pulling ahead in public education in Illinois. And
the budget.
The question of how we're doing it with, I mean, our leadership, I think, has been extraordinary.
No, if you look at our state appropriation, I just saw these numbers the other day, and I haven't paid attention to them, but we're getting about the same state dollars we had 5 years ago.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it's like $62 million or something. But what happened was that our enrollments continued to go up, and I think that's because people,
uh-huh,
are recognizing that this is a pretty good place. We're relatively inexpensive.
Yes.
Quality education with all the different professional, mm-hmm, opportunities, as well as the College of Arts and Sciences. Got that pharmacy school. I thought you won't believe the quality of the candidates applying to the pharmacy school.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's only 75 people,
uh-huh,
that we're going to admit, but I'll tell you, it's very. In fact, one of the associate deans was telling me the other day, he said, if I applied to pharmacy school today, I wouldn't get in. He said, I couldn't get into this place. And it's just very impressive. So, I mean, we just got that increase in enrollment, and that, mm-hmm, student fee increase dollars from tuition helped us weather that budgetary problem that a lot of other universities in the state didn't have that, mm-hmm. that cushion. But you're right, I mean,
well,
the state's really...
We had such careful planning. I think the fact that Earl Lazarson was a budget person was really important in those
Dave
hard
Warner
times.
Was, too.
And Dave Warner.
Yeah.
And then Dave Warner provided such great continuity.
Mm.
We had a continuity at the certain level of leadership. We weren't constantly switching like a lot of places.
Right,
and
right.
Dropping and switching. And,
I know. He tells me, you know, right now he's at Mansfield University, and you know about this.
I read
this.
About that.
And he called me the other day, and he was asking some questions about athletics. And he said, I said, well, why don't you ask some, he said, he was asking me something about, I was asking him how they're funded. He said, well, I don't really know how they're funded, the athletic program.
I know how they're
I said,
funded.
Well, how about your vice chancellor? He said, there's no vice chancellor who's been here longer than 2 years. I mean, can you imagine what that must be like? You know, it's just, nobody has any institutional memory. And
yes.
Wow. In this place, we've always had that, but it was really, I think, Vaughn, the good thing about Vaughn is that he's brought an outside perspective. So he, you know, he kind of looks at us and says, man, you guys are really impressive. How come you haven't told the world this? You know, I said, well, you know, I don't know. You know, we're just doing our job, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it is important to have, you know, Nair's been in there for, I think Nancy hired Ken Nair and Nobi.
Yes, at Kenyer and Nobi.
Yeah.
And Monaco.
Right.
Yeah. Reputation goes up and down depending on who you talk to. I like Rosemary.
He's a bright guy.
He is. I like he and Rosemary. They're really fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that New York, you know. He's so New York, you know. But he's a bright guy, very bright guy.
Yeah.
So you did ask.
I would like us to have a bigger endowment, too. I know I'm gonna start a scholarship. When I'm done with, I'm going to donate, I'm getting $5,000 to do this. I'm going to donate that.
Wow.
I'm going to start a scholarship for Patrick, and then I want to start one for Stanley Kimball. Because I think that would be, I think people would want to donate to that.
Right.
But we need a bigger endowment.
There's work done.
Yeah.
The development area, the people over there, I think are on the right track. Takes time.
Yeah.
But, you know, in our school business, our most successful alumnus right now, he's the CEO of Chiquita International, and his name is Fernando Aguirre.
Oh.
And we've just kind of, he played baseball here for a couple of years, so there's a link to the athletic, and he gave significant dollars to help modify the baseball stadium. But I think he's going to give money to the university in general.
Good.
Now he's in a very kind of high-paying position. But he graduated in 80. You know, I mean, so we don't have that...
That base.
Yeah.
Only 50 years.
Yeah, so it just takes time for that to work out. And I think it'll happen. You know, I think we have a lot of successful people, and I think they will give back to the university. Our Athletic Hall of Fame is, to some sense, to have these people perhaps... If they get into a position at some time in their life to donate back, you know, that's
right.
That's kind of a fundraiser event too.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, we need to stop thinking about the state as our budget source because they just don't seem to be very interested in higher education. They got a lot of other things going on, I guess.
Those new fees are coming.
I know.
Up. Those will be millions for good things, I guess. Anyway, is there anything else?
You had a question down here about the MAT.
Yes, the management audit team.
Yeah, I was actually not a member of the management audit team.
Weren't you somewhat after Nancy?
I was. See, what happened was Nancy decided that she wanted to continue meeting with the MAT.
Yes.
I mean, this is one of the great things about Nancy Belk, is that she said, well, you know, I want to find out about this university. I'm new here. These people, it was Dennis Hostetler, Don Strickland and Bud Hirsch, that were the management audit team. They have a lot of. They just went and audited the entire university,
uh-huh.
And being that I knew Nancy through the search committee,
yes.
She said, "Well, maybe you could be on this." I said, "Well, I wasn't on it, but why don't you come?" We kept like weekly meetings with her,
right.
So she would just bring us in, and we'd have lunch or something, an hour or so, and she would just say, "Well, what's going on in this area?" And they would have this mm-hmm. insight, and they would say, "Well, that a lot of people are disgruntled with this person, the way they do things and stuff." She said, I'm going to look into that. So she just used that as kind of like a cabinet. I looked at kind of like a faculty cabinet. I thought this was a great idea. I wish all presidents did that. Because it wasn't her administrators.
Yes.
It was faculty members. So I got to sit in on those meetings. And once in a while, I'd have something intelligent to say. But it was really those three people that were responsible for giving her the most advice. And we did that the whole time she was here. Mm-hmm. She just saw that as a really important way to spend an hour every couple weeks or whatever. And she was a tough lady, too. I'll tell you, you know, she had that Southern thing, but you know, when she decided something had to be done, she was going to get it done. You know, if it meant moving somebody out of a position or whatever, she just made that decision, moved on with it. So I don't know too much about what they were talking about in terms of the academic and university computing.
Yes, I wondered if you knew anything. I'm interviewing some other people about that, but I just thought if you had any insight.
My only insight on that now is I think OIT is a lot better than it used to be. I mean, I just had a sense I never wanted to deal with them. And now that we're so electronic, you know,
yes.
I mean, it's like,
yes.
My computer doesn't come on in the morning. I'm like, what am I going to do today? My connection to the world is gone.
Yeah.
And so if I call them, if I have a problem, they always respond very quickly.
Yes.
So I don't know, whatever they've done over there, I think there might have been a problem at one time in the management in trying to keep people because it's a very high demand area.
Yes, right.
Another thing I wanted to say about Nancy was giving names to our buildings was important, I think. She couldn't believe we didn't have names for our buildings. So we came up with kind of these generic names, but hope someday they're named after people that donated some money or something.
Sure.
But so that was important. And then Vaughn said, well, you know, it's great to have names for buildings, but if nobody knows where they are because you have no signs
yes.
on campus. So now we're getting all these signs,
yes.
which, you know, it's all just, we're just maturing as a university
uh-huh.
in so many different ways, I think. Those are just, you know, simple ways, but
right.
the programs we offer, the quality of our faculty, our administrative structure, you know, our student life, that still has a long ways to go. My youngest son's a freshman here, and he said, no, everybody leaves.
I was wondering if your sons were in college now.
Yeah, one's at Quincy uh-huh. University, and one's at freshman here. So. And he lives on campus. He doesn't live at home. So.
Uh-huh. That's nice.
But he says a lot of people go home on weekends because they said there's nothing to do. There's not a lot of student life.
Uh-huh. What needs to be more. Although on those measures of satisfaction, our students, our dorms, I mean our residence hall students seem to be happier than the national average.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, well I think kids go home on weekends
uh-huh.
a lot in Illinois. I mean when
uh-huh.
I was a freshman or sophomore, junior, I never went home.
No, I didn't.
I mean
either.
I was 3 hours away, first of all, I didn't have a car. I wasn't
right.
going home.
That's right.
You just stayed there. But now the mentality a lot more is to go home. And I don't
uh-huh.
know. Maybe it's freshman, too. He's a freshman, so a lot of his friends may be going back. But
uh-huh.
maybe they don't go home as much when they get to be sophomores and juniors. But I have to say, you know, given that I know some administrators, they'll say to Matt, well, what do you want us to do? Well, you tell us what program will attract students, and we'll put it on. So they're very
yes.
open to wanting to do
yes.
things. So I said, man, you got a lot of power here. You can just tell these people you would like to have something. And if you can show 20 students are going to show up, they'll do it for you, you know. So, but I think he's liked it here. And I'm proud to have him here. You know, it's just like, well, would you rather have him at Harvard? Well, yeah, maybe Harvard, but SIU Edwardsville is fine. He's going to get a good education
That's
right.
here.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to do a lot of things. Good. Anything else that you think of?
Well, I think I
see. I'll transcribe this, and I'm pretty good at getting every word. I'm a fast typist.
Oh, I know. I've seen you in action, Ellen. You're the best I've ever seen in my life.
So I'll don't expect it for a few weeks or maybe a month or so because it takes me quite a while to transcribe it.
Sure.
But I send it back to you, and then you can look it over. And if you think of something you you want to change or cross out, or if you don't even want to look at it and you just want to send it back, you can do that too.
No, I'll look at it just to make sure I didn't make any factual mistakes if I think about things.
So I'll get it to you within, you know, with an envelope to return it and a deed of gift for the library so we can put it in the archives.
Okay.
And we thanks a lot for
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, thank
you.